Hi all, Lily here. We've talked about how much we love Needed, but one product I really leaned on, especially through my VBAC pregnancy, was their prenatal collagen. I love how simple and clean it is. It's pure hydrolyzed bovine collagen, nothing extra, with a totally neutral flavor that mixes seamlessly into drinks or food. Collagen is especially important because our natural production starts slowing in our early 20s, and pregnancy, stress, and postpartum recovery only increase those needs. It's rich in amino acids like glycine and proline, which are key building blocks for collagen production in the body. It was such an easy, supportive addition for me during my pregnancy and recovery, and it's another reason why we trust Needed so much. You can get 20% off with code TVL at checkout. Head to thisisneeded.com today, and you can even stack it on top of their new subscription discount as well. So that's thisisneeded.com with code TVL for 20% off.
You are listening to the VBAC Link podcast. I am your host, Paige, joined by beautiful Lily. Hey, Lily.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see my ridiculous hand placement on my microphone right now. It's not working, women of strength. This is just a reminder that Paige and I are just, we're just doing our best. We're out here doing our best. So I'm just holding my microphone up right now. But hello. Hello. Happy Wednesday.
She's ready. She's looking great. Looking ready. All right. Well, to continue our Cesarean Awareness Month series, today we have talk about breech. We're talking about breech cesareans. We're talking about breech vaginal deliveries, breech VBAC, and also, we're talking about out of hospital birth after a breech cesarean with a head down baby. We're talking about bicornia uterus. And yeah, there's just all the things. We have Catherine here with us today who has experienced all of that in her four stories.
Yeah, she's amazing. Her stories are so unique. And I think like so many different, you know, things along the way of like, breech baby, you know, having a breech cesarean is one of the number one reasons for your initial cesarean. I myself, my first C-section, my only C-section, I hope it's my first and my last, if I'm honest with you all, it was because of a breech baby that flipped breech in labor. And she has the bicornia uterus, which is also another reason that a lot of people have C-sections. I have a couple friends that have had a bicornia uterus and have been told that like they will only have C-sections just out of the gate, just because of the shape of their uterus, which isn't true. So I'm really excited, women of strength, for you all to hear her stories because she's got a doozy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. And it just goes to show that you can have a head down baby with a bicornia uterus. You can find providers who are trained in breech. You can find providers who are afraid of breech vaginal delivery, and whichever way you choose to, however you choose to birth your baby, whether you feel comfortable with breech vaginal delivery or whether you opt for cesarean, like we support you, and we're here to give you options. That's why we're here. We're here to give you community. We're here to give you a story and solidarity and validation. And so that's what we're here for today. But before we get into it, Lily has a review for us.
Yay. Okay. So this review is for our doula course. So doulas, if you're listening, or women of strength, if you have a doula who is not yet VBAC certified, send them our advanced VBAC certification. They can get advanced VBAC certified, which is really exciting. But this comes from Meredith about the VBAC course. It says, I learned so much in this course, especially for anyone who hasn't had a C-section or a VBAC themselves. This gave so much valuable hands-on experience and information that I've already put into practice, even with my non-VBAC clients. Cannot recommend it enough, which I love because someone actually asked this in Q&A today of, can you be a VBAC certified doula if you've never had a VBAC? And the answer is yes. Having a VBAC is not a prerequisite for being a VBAC certified doula. And that's exactly why we created the course, because we didn't create the course, but Megan and Julie created the course. But because we here at the VBAC Link know what it is like to go through VBAC and the unique emotions and support that comes with it. And our hope is that we educate doulas to be able to bring that support, whether or not they are VBAC moms themselves. So and if you're looking for a doula, women of strength, you can go to our website. We have a doula finder of all of the VBAC certified doulas from around the world that are on our website. So you can find one near you there. But okay.
Exactly. So that's one of our many resources. And I just wanted to add also another resource that we have, which is where I found Catherine. So is our VBackLink community Facebook group.
Yeah,
I saw her post and comment because I was specifically looking for a breech vaginal or breech VBack story. We haven't had one on the podcast in a long time, and I found her in there. So you can go there for more stories if you don't find what you're looking for on the podcast. But I reached out to her, and under her story, there were so many comments saying, you need to be on the podcast. You need to be on the podcast. So she's here today. We're going to take a break for our intro and be back with Catherine.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBackLink podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same: to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Welcome back, everybody. We have Catherine here with us. I am going to read a little bit about her and then just buckle up. I am so excited. There's so much in her stories. She was just saying before we hit record, like, how are we going to fit this all in? And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. But I'm going to quickly read her bio so we can give her the floor. All right. Catherine lives in the woods of West Virginia, where she and her husband raised their four free-range children. Catherine became passionate about VBAC and breech after the breech cesarean birth of her first child, where she was diagnosed with a bicornuate uterus. Her birth history includes scheduled breech cesarean, a fast and furious cephalic HVAC, breech CBAC, and an unexpected breech VBA 2C on the OR table at the hospital. She hopes to one day complete her birth bingo card with a breech HBA 2C, or maybe just a normal birth for once. But let's be real. What does normal mean anyway when it comes to birth?
I don't even know.
Either way, she loves sharing her stories and helping other moms become educated about the many flavors of labor and delivery. All right, Catherine, let's hear it.
Yeah. So let's, I'll go briefly over my birth history. So first pregnancy, pretty young, went to a birth center. I was already like, okay, I think a birth center is a great option. I wasn't ready for a hospital birth, was not ready for a home birth. So birth center felt like the right option, and everything was going fine. And then third trimester hits and they're like, your baby's breech. And they're like, you really don't need to worry about it, but you should go to spinningbabies.com and you should do all these different exercises to try to get your baby to flip. I still hate ironing boards to this day. I don't like to look at them. I don't like to use them. So when that didn't work, they said, oh, well, let's look into an external cephalic version where they manually turn the baby. And they had this highly recommended OB that I traveled an hour and a half to go to, who supposedly had a great success rate. And it was a super thorough ultrasound, and they're like, I just, like, there's something with your anatomy, your baby's not turning. So I went back to my birth center and they said, okay, so because they're a hospital accredited birth center, they couldn't take my case anymore. So they're like, you have two options. Try to find a home birth midwife who's willing to attend a first time mom breech. And I was like, well, that sounds terrifying. And they're like, well, they may not even take you because you don't have a proven pelvis. And I was like, well, that sounds scary. And then they're like, the other option is pursue a vaginal birth, they're like, well, you could just wait to go into labor until the baby is like half hanging out of you and just walk into the hospital. And I'm like, well, that sounds terrible. So it was transfer care to the hospital, and it was a textbook C-section. And they, during the cesarean, they said, well, you have a bicornuate uterus. So my uterus is shaped like a heart. And so I was told, you'll always be considered high risk because you will likely always have breech babies. And so you will likely always have C-sections. And I thought, well, that's kind of a blow. I just gave birth and I'm given this information. So thankfully, I let kind of some things settle down postpartum, and I went to another OB to get a second opinion. And they were really good. They're like, no, you're a great VBAC candidate as long as you have a head down baby. And I was like, great, I'm gonna make sure I have a head down baby. So second pregnancy comes along, and I start off at an OB office. Quickly realized they're VBAC tolerant. Of course, I thought I couldn't really do a home birth because I was considered high risk, and you're not supposed to do home births if you're high risk. So I didn't really look into that option. And so with every, like, I remember the first appointment, I was barely 8 weeks, and the OB was like, so another C-section, right? And I'm like, why aren't we even talking about this? Like, I'm barely 8 weeks. So thankfully, so my husband and I were like, you know what? Everyone's just really worried about this breech baby thing. We need to do some research on this breech. Why is this so scary? And so I dove really, really, well, also into VBAC, dove into VBAC, and dove into breech birth. And so I was just like, any information I could get my hands on, just between the VBAC link. That was a huge, huge resource. But then another big one was Breech Without Borders. It was a huge resource. And I listened to a lot of Dr. Stu's podcasts. And so I was like, you know what? I just need to find a provider who is experienced in breech. And of course, almost no hospital near me is. And so I started researching in the area for midwives, and I found a home birth midwife who worked a lot in like the Mennonite community. So she has a lot of experience with breeches and twins, and she was fabulous. She, you know, I of course have all these concerns with breech, and she goes, why are we even worried about breech? Your baby's not even breech. Why don't we just talk about it if your baby's actually breech? And I was like, well, that's reasonable. So anyways, had a really wonderful home birth, head down baby, and she came so fast. It was crazy, and she was almost 9 pounds, and it was like, it was crazy because it's the first time I'd ever gone into labor, and it was just, it was wonderful, but it was really fast, and it was pretty scary to me. So then third pregnancy comes around, and we go with the same midwife, and in the third trimester, I get in a car accident with my two daughters, and that was pretty scary. Thankfully, no major complications from that. But there was some undiagnosed PTSD that we didn't realize was going on. And so it was a pretty high stress pregnancy, and mentally I was struggling. And so then when my baby did turn breech, I kind of spiraled because I thought, well, the last time my baby was breech, I had to have a C-section. And so I'm, you know, spiraling at this point. So, kind of some things that were some flags is this midwife was really recommending another external cephalic version. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense because I have this bicarbonate uterus. So I know my baby won't turn. But she seemed like, she's like, oh, I know this doctor. I really trust him. I think you should go. So I went, and my experience was not great. It was way different than my first one. It was far more aggressive. It was not great anyway. So thankfully left. Everything was fine. I did have some contractions after the external cephalic version, and they did try to get me to stay longer because they were worried about labor, and they're like, maybe you should just have a C-section now. And I was like, no, we're fine. So we ended up going home. It wasn't anything that it was concerning. A few weeks passed, and I think labor starts. In hindsight, it's a PTSD. It is a trauma response. Every time I'm in the car, I would get these intense contractions thinking I'm going to labor. And of course, the only labor I've experienced was fast. And so here I was just scared I'm going to deliver a breech baby by myself. So what we thought I was in labor, really just could not establish a consistent contraction pattern. And I had mentioned to my midwife, I was like, well, I had read a story about a mom with a bicarbonate uterus like me. And she, it was like her fifth baby, and she couldn't get into labor, and they couldn't get baby to engage, and they broke her water, and immediately baby engaged, and she hit active labor, and baby was born within a few hours. And I asked my midwife, I said, do you think that could be my case? Do you think is that something we should look into? And she said, sure. And then she broke my water. And then of course she put me on a clock. And then so within 12 hours, because there was very little change, I think I got up to 7 centimeters, but no consistent contraction pattern. And she just goes, "Catherine, I don't feel comfortable attending your birth anymore." And so it felt like a bait and switch, because I was like, I don't understand. My vitals are fine. Baby's vitals are fine. I don't understand. But I felt like I had my hands tied behind my back. I had no other options. And so we transferred to the hospital, had another textbook C-section. And of course, the doctor there is like, "Hey, no more vaginal births, but you can totally have more kids." And I'm like, "I'm not having this conversation with you right now." So anyways, green light for more kids. Of course, after that, there's a lot of sadness. They're like, what does this mean for the future? So after that, after a lot of healing, working on that PTSD from the car accident, we found we're pregnant with our fourth. And so at this point, we have three daughters. So we're pregnant with our fourth, and I find a new home birth midwife, and I express all these concerns, all these things that had come up and were issues with the previous births, kind of the doubts where I feel like I lost trust with my midwife previously. And she put a lot of my concerns at rest, and she really helped me establish it. Really, she helped me put tools in my tool belt, because that was the thing, is I had all these fears and concerns. And she said, "Well, so I was afraid of delivering on my own." And what was that about? It was, "Well, I'm afraid, what if my baby needs help?" Okay, so she taught me neonatal resuscitation skills. You know, if my baby's breech and only my husband's there, and I've watched a million breech birth videos on Breech Without Borders, so I know all these rotations the baby's supposed to make, and I know that how to recognize those. But, you know, what if I'm by myself? I can't see what's going on. So she teaches my husband breech maneuvers in case of emergency. And so I'm like, great, like I feel like we can really handle this. So of course, third trimester comes around, baby turns breech, because that's just where they settle and find the most space. But then 36 weeks and 4 days, and my water breaks unexpectedly. And so past history, I've never delivered before 39 weeks. So that was really unexpected. I wake up, well, I don't wake up, I go to bed, and I go to lay down, and I'm like, "Oh man, I got to pee again," you know, typical end of pregnancy. And I get up and I feel a little gush, and I'm like, "That's really odd. I've been doing pelvic floor therapy this whole pregnancy. My bladder is in really great shape. I don't think that is I've invested in this bladder." So anyway, so I went to the bathroom, and sure enough, there's some trickles, and I was like, I think I know what this is. So I call my midwife, and in our birth kit that's already here, she said, there's an amniotic fluid test swab. She said, "Let's go test and see." And sure enough, came back positive. And one of the other things she taught me, knowing that my labors are fast, she taught me how to check my own cervix. So I get in the shower, check my cervix. I'm about like maybe 2 centimeters. So I'm like, okay, something's going on. Could be nothing. Water's broke. There's not really any contractions going on. So we just kind of wait and kind of monitor. So I just try to relax, try to get some rest. Midwife comes the next day, early hours. And she checks me and she's like, "Yeah, you're about three centimeters. And she was so good about not putting any pressure on me. And she really wanted to limit cervical checks. And so she was so good about like, "Okay, so let's go about our day. We're not putting any pressure on you. We'll monitor, we'll listen to baby's heartbeat, make sure everything's going great in those regards, but let's go for some walks. Here's some homeopathy. Let's do all the things. Just, this is life."
Hi, Women of Strength. This is Lily. I wanted to personally chat about Needed's prenatal collagen. It was something I genuinely used during my VBAC pregnancy, and it became a non-negotiable part of my routine. What stood out immediately was how clean and simple it is. You're getting pure, hydrolyzed bovine collagen, nothing else, no fillers, no weird tastes, no chalky texture. It has neutral flavor that mixes perfectly into food or drinks, which honestly matters so much when you're pregnant. Collagen is especially important during pregnancy and postpartum because our body's natural collagen production actually starts to slow in our early 20s, and it's further impacted by stress, sun exposure, and just the overall demands of life. During pregnancy, birth, and recovery, your body is doing so much rebuilding. Collagen is rich in unique amino acids like glycine and proline, which are key building blocks that help support collagen production in the body and overall tissue support. For me, it felt like such a simple, intentional way to support my body through pregnancy, birth, and recovery. Needed continues to be a brand that I trust because they make supplements that truly support women through real life and real stages. And this was a big part of my journey. Get 20% off with code TVL. You can find the prenatal collagen and more at thisisneeded.com and type in code TVL at checkout for 20% off.
So we go on. My in-laws take the other kids and we end up, we get up getting some lunch and crash. Like this part of the labor seems so, like, it's such a blur because it was nothing compared to what happened in the future. And so, gosh, it was in the evening. Our doula comes over and she's like, let's talk some plans. Let's, you know, here's some different paths we have going on. And our midwife, she says, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to go home. I'm going to reset. And so the game plan was, okay, we're going to see the chiropractor in the evening. We're going to get some acupuncture done and we're going to get some dinner. Maybe we'll walk around Home Depot because that's, you know, we always have house projects to do. So we'll go do that. So we go and do those things, but we get to dinner and I feel things picking up and I'm like, I don't think I want to be out of the house anymore. I think I'm ready to go back home. I can feel things. I'm having to stop conversations to kind of focus through them. I'm like, that's so good. That's great. So we get home and I try to do some pumping to keep things going, to keep them being strong. And I let the midwife know, like, they're picking up a little bit, but they're not, like, they're still not super consistent. So it was about an hour or two and I start to get really tired and my contractions just stop and I just sleep. And I thought, wow, like, my body is so wise. It knows I need some sleep right now. And so I got a few hours of sleep and, my best friend came over and she snapped a few photos. It was really sweet of her. And the morning comes around and we arranged, we said the midwife was going to come. It was like 7 a.m. So she came and she checked and she said, you're about a 4. So there's been slight change or some change. So, and she was so good about not pressuring us. She said, so what do you want to do moving forward? And I was like, well, I really don't feel like maybe my body is trying to say, we're not going into hard labor because maybe rupture is a risk. Maybe my body's smarter than I think it is. Maybe it's saying, we're just going to go slow. This isn't meant to progress because we're trying to protect from something catastrophic. Or I also was just keeping in mind that, you know, if it was going to be this slow, right? Like, I've delivered a head down baby, but I've never delivered a breech baby. So maybe just it takes my body a longer time to get a baby into position that's breached. And can my uterus that's had 2 C-section scars, can it handle that amount of contracting? So those are all things we're keeping in mind. And of course, there's the, okay, my water has been broke for like 36 hours at this point. So keeping that in mind, of course, we've limited cervical checks at this point. I'm not terribly concerned about infection. Baby's stats, my stats were all great. So my midwife was wonderful. She goes, Catherine, you're a really spiritual person. You've done all these other things. Have you gone to church to pray? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. So my husband and I, we call our priest and we say, like, hey, here's what's going on. Do you think we could come receive some sacraments and just get some spiritual help here? Because we don't know what battle is ahead. And so it was funny. It was a Tuesday and we still needed to vote. And we stopped at the polls on our way out. I'm in labor and we're going to the polls to vote. And we just thought that was so funny. We got our little picture with our I voted sticker in labor. And we go to church and we just kind of surrendered to what, you know, maybe the cross that I'm meant to carry is supposed to be C-sections from here on out. And for me, that's always been a concern. My husband and I, we don't want the number of surgeries I have to determine the number of children we have. We just don't think that's fair. But I was like, you know what? And maybe this is just the cross. Maybe this is just what I'm supposed to carry for the rest of my life. And so we had a good cry. We got some lunch. I got a steak and cheese sub and that Dr. Pepper that gave me life. And we get back to the house. Midwife meets us there. Doula's there. My best friend is there. They're all here supporting me. And she checks me and she's like, you're like maybe a 5. And I was like, okay. So there's been slight change, but this could be going on for a while. So we made the decision. We said, okay, we'll go ahead and transfer. But this time I wanted to transfer to a different hospital that I had delivered at, one farther away, because they allow an extra support person in the OR. And my best friend came and offered to take photos for me. And because that was something that was really important to me with the previous C-sections, with all those narcotics, those drugs, everything's a blur. I mean, you don't remember the details, the things you want to. And so that was really important to me. My midwife called ahead. They knew we were coming. They knew we had our, they had all my information that my midwife had on hand. And my midwives and my doula, they all helped me clean up our house. They got some freezer meals out and ready. So like everything's ready for when we come home. And I don't realize during this time that contractions have picked up a little bit, but we've already made a plan. The plan is to go to the hospital. But they're not noticeable. So finally we get in the car and we're driving there. It's an hour and a half away to this hospital. And I start to time these contractions because I'm sitting still and I have nothing else to do. I'm like, oh, these are coming like every 7 minutes. These are really uncomfortable. I really wish we were closer to the hospital. I don't know how much longer I can deal with these. And so we're getting closer and closer and it starts to get so uncomfortable. I have to like ball my hand into a fist and put it in my lower back. And I have to push against the dash to get like any sort of counter pressure. And I realize I'm starting to panic. I'm like, we need to get to the hospital now. I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong. We need to go to the hospital now. Wow. I was in transition. and I remember we're probably like 10 minutes from the hospital and I unbuckle. I'm like, I can't stand this any longer. And I get on my knees and I'm leaning over the back of the seat and it's reclined. And my husband's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Also doesn't realize I'm in transition. We were like, the plan is C-section, where like nothing else was in our radar. So I remember we pull into the ER parking lot and I'm like, we need to go now. And I remember really starting to panic walking there because I had to stop. It felt like every 30 seconds. I was like, I can't keep doing this. I don't know what's going on. I was not in my right mind, primal instinct mode. So we get into the ER somehow. My friend's there, still snapping a few photos. Love her. And I remember checking in and it was like, people are looking at me like there's something wrong. And I'm like, can you just get us up there? Can we hurry up? What's going on? And I remember there was a couple, an elderly couple standing in front of me checking in. And I see the guy turn around and look at me and go, maybe we should let them go first. And his wife hadn't seen me at that point. She goes, why? And he goes, look at her. And I was like, well, they must have been a sight. So my friend is just like, can you just get a wheelchair out here? We called ahead. We're supposed to be up at the OB emergency department. We need to get her up here. And so I love my friend. And so they, of course, want me in this wheelchair. And I'm like, how am I supposed to sit in that? So I remember like gripping the sides, holding myself off. Anyways, we somehow get up to the OB emergency department. And they're checking me in and they're like, name, driver's license. Can you spell that for me? And I'm like, can we please hurry up? And I remember looking at the clock and I remember it said 6:18. And as I realize as I'm talking, my voice is getting caught in my throat. And I look at my friend and I say, I'm pushing. I'm starting to push. And my husband, of course, is like, we got to get her back here now. She's starting to push. And anyway, so my friend got me all checked in. She took my wallet, got everything checked in. And the nurse, of course, was like, oh, you're her sister, right? And she's like, yes, I'm her sister. So she was able to stay and got me all checked in. And they get me back into the triage area. And there's probably dozens of people swarming us. And they're yelling at me. They're taking my clothes off, shoving an IV in my arm. There's a cervical check somewhere in there and the OB yells, she's complete. And then my husband, and it's like literally a scene out of the movie. It was like a drama. And my husband goes, whoa, 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 everyone stop, freeze, just a minute. Just hear me out. And they all freeze and look at him. And he goes, we've made it this far. What if we just let her push the baby out? And they're like, absolutely not. We can't do that. And they like whisk me away into the OR. And I remember them being like, come on, dad, you got to get suited up. And I remember thinking, why are they doing that? Like, they're going to knock me out. He's not going to be allowed in there. Why are they having him suit up? So at this point, I think they were still contemplating whether or not they would knock me out or give me a spinal. And I don't know why that was still in question because I was complete and pushing this baby. So anyways, I get into the OR and they want me to move from the one bed to the OR table. And I'm like, I can't move, guys. And of course, they're like, stop pushing, stop pushing. I can't stop pushing, guys. Of course, I'm yelling at this point. I can't stop pushing. Somehow I get from the table or from the bed onto the table. And then my husband's there and I see the OB. No one's making eye contact with me. Everyone's just swarming around me. And I see the OB say, baby's coming. And she puts her hands in me. And I thought, so I've read some stories, some terrible breech stories where breech babies come fast sometimes. And it's a medical emergency in the hospital. They view that as a medical emergency. And I've read stories where someone's holding that baby until they can get it, you know, get them knocked out and get them opened up. And that baby almost always needs NICU time. I read a story once where a nurse was like, yeah, I was in charge of holding a baby and I broke my wrist. And I'm like, this just is like terrible. So no one's telling me what's going on. Well, the OB is trying to deliver the baby. But I just remember yelling, please don't hold my baby in. Please don't hold my baby in. And finally a nurse says, she's not holding your baby in. And I'm like, oh. So I finally stop fighting the pushing and I push him. He's out in one push. And it's a son. That was the thing. All of our kids were surprises. And so my husband was like, you did it. We have a son. And of course, no one is like telling me. They immediately whisk him away because they're terrified. Something's wrong. And he's crying. And my husband's just like, you did it. He's crying. That's our son. You did it. He's here. And And I'm finally, I like come to. I remember sitting there being like, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm not normally like this. Apologizing for, just being in labor. So he was born. Of course, he was like 36 weeks and 6 days. If he were born 5.5 hours later, he would have been 37 weeks. So the hospital was like, he's a preemie. So we got to make sure we have to do all this extra monitoring and whatnot. That was a hassle. It was annoying in the hospital because I was like, he's 7 pounds. That's not a preemie. That's a good sized baby. He's perfectly healthy. His Apgar scores were 8 and 9. Those are better than some of my C-section babies. Like, come on. Yeah. So, he was born. He was here. And I did get a second degree tear, but I was laying on my back. I pushed a breech baby out. He was folded in half. He was a little Frank breech baby, feet by his head. The only signs he was breech was he has a perfectly round head and he had a little bruise on his butt, which is normal. And that went away within a couple hours. But yeah, it was wild. Literally felt like a movie scene. I remember when we got back into the recovery room, my friend was there. She was hysterical. She could not believe that just happened. She didn't get to see it because apparently she was in the hallway arguing with the anesthesiologist about photos in the OR. Because she was like, if you're not going to let me, you need to get one of your nurses to take some photos with me. Like, here's my camera. Take some photos. These are really important to my friend. And probably bought me some more time. Because the moment the anesthesiologist was in there.
Has your friend decided to become a doula yet?
She's now a birth photographer.
Okay. I feel better about this. Because I'm like, hello. Sounds like she's naturally gifted.
Well, yeah. So she was actually present for some of her younger siblings' births. Like, she was probably born into the doula role. Anyways, we joke, the three of us, because my best friend actually is really good friends with my husband. Like, we all grew up together. And so we joke that my son is actually our son. Okay. That's our baby. But we were all back in the recovery room and we all were just looking at each other like, what just happened? What just happened? So yeah, crazy, wild.
When did you finally get to hold him or have him between all of?
So they gave him. They did give him a couple puffs of air, and I was like, "Why? His Apgar scores were 8 and 9." They did. They brought him back not too long after. It really wasn't that long, maybe a couple minutes. So they were stitching me up, and I was holding him. But I don't think I was hardly in that OR. It was so fast. So the only thing that I don't really love, the OB never followed up with me, and I really wanted to talk to her about how things could have just been so different if she just communicated to me what she was doing. So I think there was a shift change. So remember, I checked in, it was like 6:18 when I looked at the clock. He was born at 6:35. So it was fast.
Wow. That's
so what was fast. That processing like? Because there's on the one side that victory of like, yeah, I just birthed a breech baby vaginally. But like, wow, that's actually quite traumatic the way that that was handled.
Yeah, it was definitely, I had a hard time because I thought all this trauma is tainting this trophy. This really was like an amazing birth. I achieved so much. And so it really took me a long time. My midwife was amazing when I got home. She was so good about, well, one, when I called her what had happened, she had no idea that she was like screaming. Could not believe that it happened. And so we got home and she's like, all right, we're starting your postpartum over. Because my hospital experience really was awful because they treated him like this preemie and it was not great. To keep the story short, I did end up getting the whole hospital bill waived because I reported to Patient Rights Advocate a lot of the issues I had with my care. Of course, they didn't admit they did anything wrong. They were like, oh, when we check your bill, the hospital just waived it out of an act of charity. And I was like, oh, because those are all listed grievances I sent. Things I can sue the hospital over. But again, so my big thing is advocating for yourself. These are all things. And of course, when you're in active labor, it's really hard to do that. Your brain is just literally focusing on doing the thing that is birthing a baby. It's not arguing with people and trying to make sure your body is respected or making sure you can't ask why. You can't ask what you're doing. You're focused. So yeah, I'm really passionate about VBAC. I'm really passionate about breech. And I genuinely have a hard time believing a lot of OBs right now. A lot of the medical system is based on this fear. And I did try to explain, there was one point in the hospital stay, the head of the like nursing department or like labor and delivery department came in and was like, hey, like, can we get your feedback about your stay? And I'm like, do you know who I am? And do you know that like breech birth that happened on that OR table after 2 C-sections? She's like, oh my gosh, that was you. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. And I remember telling her, like from the get-go, I knew exactly what would have changed a lot of the things that I experienced that was traumatic for me. And almost all of it could have been changed with just communication. So maybe they listened, maybe they didn't, I don't know, but.
And you just want to tell that OB to like, you delivered a breech baby. Like, will you change anything? But also
like just visit Breech Without Borders website and watch the videos and read all the information on there because that information is so empowering. I mean, I think of all the times I've been afraid, that's because of lack of information. I didn't know enough. And so the more I've read, the more I've been able to learn and make these educated decisions, I don't have to go into all of this with fear. And it can be the same in the medical world. I mean, it's probably tainted with fear because they do see a lot of true medical emergencies, but I don't think mine was a true medical emergency.
Yeah. I think that's one of the hardest things about labor and delivery and all of it. I mean, we've had nurses on even that have like seen really traumatic things and then to want to support a VBAC, or when we think about things like, you know, women that are told that they have a thin uterus or their scar is thin or like all these things. And the reality is like at the end of the day, like what should be happening is a discussion with your provider about risks and benefits, about unknown. And then at the end of the day, like you should be given the opportunity to decide what your risk tolerance is, not a, well, it's too risky, so like we don't do it. But like it should be on you to be able to decide, like, I am or am not feeling like breech is too risky for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think it's just such a frustrating thing to be able to not be able to find providers that will settle into that unknown.
Well, and what I have found with the OBs I have worked with, they're very much, well, when I was in med school, this is what I was taught. I go, okay, but I wasn't at your med school. I'm a real person. This is my real experience. Can we take those into consideration? And they don't have the time. They don't have the time to have those types of relationships with their patients. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely some unicorns out there who are definitely the exception, but that's the thing. They're the exception. They're rare. But in my experience, I haven't been able to find one near me. that is that unicorn. But yeah, so I've learned, I think I have a really fast labor as soon as my babies are engaged. Once they're engaged, they're just, whew, it's fast and it's intense. I just need enough time to get there.
Yeah. So, and the support and the patience.
Wow. Yeah.
So what advice do you have for our women of strength who have had a prior cesarean due to breech or whatever, and are finding themselves in a situation where they're fearing breech? What are some words of wisdom that you can offer to them? What are some maybe practical advice, some information? Like, you have so much that I can tell that you've learned in your deep dive. Yeah. But resources, me, like, what do you just want our community to know?
Well, I think just generally, don't settle. Don't settle. Keep searching. Keep searching. Because your body, your birth, is worth fighting for. Those experiences, they stay with you forever. And you're valuable enough that you, I mean, if I think of the analogy of how much money and time you invest in a wedding. Do, if we just spent the same amount of time and money investing in our births, how different would it be? And I think it's the same case. And I mean, there are a community, finding a community with similar mindset is makes the world of a difference, because knowing people helps you find the right people. So, I mean, finding that Breech Without Borders, I just immersed myself in that, the Facebook page, any stories, any interactions in the comments. And then the website, I mean, if I had the opportunity, I would go and take the workshop if I could. I mean, I'm not a provider, but I absolutely would go just because I think it's very informational and I love to understand it more. So I think, I don't know, it's a lot. A lot of time too. I think this, I don't know if my story like emphasizes this enough, but like my first pregnancy was 2017. So that was almost 10 years ago. So I've had a lot of time to dive into this. And of course, there's still life. You have to be able to live your life. You can't, I mean, I definitely, those first two pregnancies, I think I was pretty obsessed, I would say. I mean, it was my whole life. I felt like I'd been told I had this textbook surgery, but I would likely always have C-sections. And I thought if I had settled for that, how different would my story be now?
So we talked a little bit about this actually before we hit record.
Yes.
The idea of you looking for a story that was like similar to yours, and like, how beautiful is it now that, you know, for the few out there that have a story that's similar, to be able to listen and to get some inspiration and to get some hope. And equally, what happens when you can't find a story that matches yours? Like, how do you move forward with hope and with advocacy when you might not find the exact match of a story that's
I think similar? It's really normal to want to try to connect with people who have a similar story as you. I mean, I've just seen that even as a mom, right? You want to be with other moms who have children similar age as you. I will say, like, those first... I think after my first pregnancy, I was searching and searching. I wanted to find a VBAC story for a bicornate uterus and where the first C-section was due to breech, and I couldn't find it. And so you kind of have to realize, well, labor and delivery has never been a one size fits all. I mean, that's part of what we have issues in the medical system with when labor and delivery is we have a lot of nurses and doctors who are saying, well, you didn't dilate 1 centimeter in 1 hour. I think things are deviating from normal. Their, you know, definition of normal, that's a very subjective thing. And so I think realizing you're writing your own story. Your own story is just as valuable as anybody else's. And if it's not the same as somebody else's, that doesn't make it any less. Doesn't make it any less important. I mean, it's still worth pursuing and it's still worth fighting for. So I guess my hope would be maybe something with this information, like, wow, this is literally, I don't think I'm ever going to find anyone with the exact same birth history as me. I do. Wow. We are going to be really good friends, I hope. But I can't let that define, you know, the outcomes that I'm going to have. And so, I don't know, maybe one day I will have maybe I'll get another head down baby and it'll just be like such a surprise. But at this point, I feel like I'd be disappointed if I didn't get a breech baby in the future to have that opportunity again. I'm like, come on, I could do that on the OR table. I could do it anywhere. But yeah, I think just realizing as women, we're not defined by, you know, the things that are terrible that happen to us.
Well, something I love that's so beautiful about your story is I find, and I don't know why, but in our CBAC community, particularly with maybe breech mamas, they have this maybe feeling of betrayal a little bit by their body. Just like, why is my baby the wrong position? Or why won't the baby just go head down? Like, why isn't this happening? And what I love about you is you said things like, my body is so smart. My body is so wise. As you're telling your story, like, maybe my body is just taking a break. Like, my body rested so that I could rest. And there was this deep trust in your body, and you worked with your body to figure out how to work with it. Like, you weren't trying to fight against it, but you were, I don't know if I'm making sense, but
oh no, absolutely.
I respect that and admire that.
And I think our bodies are so smart. Our babies are smart. I mean, that's all. Every time I have a breech baby, I'm like, wow, how smart you are to settle in the position where you have the most space. Like, this is most comfortable for you. I'm not going to fight it. That's why I don't even try the spinning babies exercises anymore. Because what's the point? My baby settled here because my baby's smarter. My baby knows what's going on in there. I have no idea. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of surrendering. You don't realize how much there's just out of your control. So that's why I feel like something I can control is what tools are in my tool belt to be able to handle what fears I do have. Yeah.
So thank you for that refreshing perspective. And with this episode, Women of Strength, now you have a story like Catherine's. And we're not saying here that this is exactly what you need to do. And like Lily was saying, you just have options and tools in our tool belt. If you decided that a cesarean is what you feel more comfortable with, then that's great. And if you feel like you want to go for a VBAC and your baby is breached, like, kudos to you too. Just follow your intuition, have the support, do your research. And yeah. And thank you again for joining us today. This is
thank you
such
so much
an amazing story.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy. I hope my story can help any mom in some way, shape or form. But I'm also, I'm an open book. I love to share my story. And yeah, there's a lot of details. It takes a while. So I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And
it was perfect.
It was perfect. And any links that you have that we can drop in the show notes for breech resources, those will be there attached to the episode today. So thank you again, Catherine.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
This episode featured ads for Needed. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.